I want to read to you, and I want you to listen as I read. I'm not that I don't think you do listen when, as I read, but as I read these verses, I believe God will speak to our hearts. You know, David said, "The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding." I know this day that we're time of the year, we talk about the crucifixion. And I want to read about a man who made a decision, and his name was Pilate. And I want you to listen to the words, because I want to come back. And tonight, the Lord being my helper, I want to make a personal application. You know, we understand, I know the prophetic part of the Scripture and what he's talking about, and I know that Pilate is accountable for the choices he made, and you and I are accountable for the choices we make. But I want to look at this portion of Scripture tonight in a personal way, because I believe in many ways each one of us make a decision that Pilate made. Listen as I read, beginning in verse 15 of Matthew 27. "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a noble prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether the twain were ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And they all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather he took a tumblet and was made, and took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Father, we know thy word is light and it gives understanding. And I pray tonight that you'd help us for the next few moments to see something very personal. We know, Lord, that we too make decisions, and we're accountable for those decisions that we make. And I pray, Lord, that we'd realize that we too make a decision whom will be crucified and who will be released. And so speak to our hearts and help us to understand this very personal application to our own hearts and lives, for we ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you a question to get you to thinking with me as we look at these scriptures. In verse 26, he said, Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. In your mind's eye, if you could go back to that day, and Pilate brought out two men. They were both very well known. Jesus' public ministry had been now over 3 years. And the Bible said that his fame went throughout all the land. Everyone had heard about Jesus because of all of the things, not only his preaching, but his miracles that he had done. Now the Bible said that there was a multitude there, and they all cried, Let Jesus be crucified and Barabbas released. Here was the two men that were standing there. Here was Jesus. And I know we've all read the Gospels and we've seen his public ministry. I can see the leper who came to him one time. If you've studied the Old Testament and the law of leprosy, well, a leper had to be one who someone would come, and as they were approaching a leper, he would have to cry out, "Unclean, I'm unclean." Therefore, they would know that he was a leper and they would not come near to him. But I remember this leper coming to Christ and kneeling down and saying, "If thou will, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus did something that no one else would do. He said, "I will." And he touched him. And he was made clean. I'm sure we've all read the stories of how that Christ, as he would go down the road, and blind Bartimaeus would cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And though they tried to hush him, he cried the more louder, and Jesus went and gave him his sight. Remember when he passed a funeral procession, the widowed Nain was on the way to a cemetery to now bury her only child. Her husband had already passed away, and all she had in this world as far as human means was concerned was her son. Now he had died, and Jesus was taking him, or she was taking him now to the place to bury him. And you remember the story how Jesus stopped the funeral procession and raised the lad and gave her back her son. We've all read the stories of how that he fed the multitudes and how that he took 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes and blessed them and broke them and fed the multitudes, for he would not have them go away hungry. This was the man that was standing there. They all knew him. His compassion, his love, and all he had ever done was shown mercy, and no sickness came near him that wasn't healed. There's another man standing there. His name was Barabbas, you know him. Now we don't have time to go to all of the Gospels because each one reveals something about him. But here I think it's very noteworthy that it said in verse 16 that Barabbas was a notable person. What does that mean? Well, in different translations, you'll find different meanings of the word. In the Spanish translation, that word is translated a famous person. In our language, what it would mean is simply this. He probably no doubt come from a very notable family. He was a man of influence, if you'd have this. Here was a man that Matthew said that at that time he was a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Mark 15 says he was a man who had committed insurrection. And in that insurrection, he had committed murder. Now, what I'm going to say is just a conclusion that I draw, but I want you to see the choices they were making. Here was a man of great influence. Here was a man that was known. He was a notable man. He was a man who was famous. Maybe he come from a well-to-do family. If you remember during that time, there was a spirit of insurrection against the Roman government. Remember, Judas even subtly joined the small band of disciples because he thought that Jesus, with his power, could overthrow the Roman government and establish a Jewish power again and free them from Rome. And you remember how that Judas really got in there because he thought that Jesus would be the one who could lead the revolt against the Roman government. Barabbas, no doubt, was that type of leader. The other two malefactors that were crucified that day, if you remember, they both were tried for insurrections and murder. In other words, they were rebels against the government. No doubt they had led a terrorist band, if you'd have it, and they tried to overthrow the Roman government. And in their insurrection, they had committed murder. These were the two choices. Barabbas had done nothing but led a rebellious band of thugs, if you would have it. He had caused murder in that insurrection. He had caused somebody had lost their life. Maybe it was a father. Maybe it was a husband. Maybe it was somebody's child. And And Barabbas was a leader of that band, and possibly these other two malefactors were part of his band. They had been tried by the Roman government. They had been sentenced to death, and the thief that did get saved, remember his testimony, he said, "We're getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing amiss." So in your mind's eye, if you can, here's two men standing there that day. One who had given his life to minister. He had given his life of compassion and mercy and showing goodness and kindness. And here was another who was an insurrectionist. Notable, yes. Influential, yes. But a murderer. An insurrectionist. A rebel, if you'd have it. And Pilate stands and says, "Whom were ye that I release? Jesus." And all they knew who he was. Or Barabbas. And they knew who he was. And he said, "Brother Johnny, what's that have to do with me?" There's something I want us to see here tonight. I want us to recognize that if you're saved tonight, you have two natures. You have the old sinful nature. You have the nature, and we call it the flesh. Let me give you some things the Bible says about the flesh. And aren't you glad? Listen, the only way that we can know the truth is when we come to the Word of God. Jeremiah 17:9 said, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it?" But you know, Sister Paisley was at the Paisley's today, and she's telling us something about her granddaughter. She said, and I may not have this exactly right, she said, "I'm having problems with my brain." "What's wrong with your brain there?" she said. "Well," she said, "the Lord tells my heart to do good things, but my brain just don't cooperate." And you know what she's saying in a child's way? When Christ is in the heart, the Spirit of the living God, Christ is in our heart. He delights in the law of God. Oh, but the old flesh, the old human nature is still an enemy and in rebellion against God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, "Because of the carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject unto the law of God." The Bible said in Romans and verse 8, "So they that are of the flesh cannot please God." And then in Philippians 3:3, you know what it says? "Have no confidence in the flesh." Remember in Romans chapter 7, Paul cries out these words and he cries against the flesh. He says, "Within me, that is within my flesh, there dwelleth no good things." And so I want to submit unto us tonight that I believe that you would agree. There's the old Barabbas. There's the old carnal nature. There's the old flesh. And you know, and this is just something that I would like to submit to you. We know that Barabbas was released that day. And you know, there's no indication in Scripture where he ever got saved. And I believe that's a perfect picture of you and me. I'm glad this night that we know that we can know Christ as our personal Savior. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen.
And everybody said, "Amen."